Let me move on to oil. Let's start with you, Linda. You know, Dan said in his opening remarks, oil production is actually going up. Things are going in the right direction. I don't know if you want to give the Obama administration credit for that or not, but here's your opportunity. But more specifically, what would President Romney do to expand oil production? Pacific, Atlantic Oceans, ANWR? If the trend is moving in a direction that's positive, what would the Romney administration do to continue that?
Well, as I said at the outset, and I have to say, I grew up on a farm, so I have to say there is a story that people on the farm talk about, the rooster crowing every morning when the sun comes up, and sort of taking credit for that. And there's a little bit of that going on here, I think, because the facts are that production on federal lands is down. The production increases, the innovation that's occurred is on private lands, and that's a fact. Leasing is down on public land. Offshore leasing, onshore leasing, the pace of permitting, it's all down. So this is happening on private land because it's very difficult to get through the permitting maze on public lands. That's going to be changed. Governor Romney has said, you know, if Governor McDonald thinks that Virginia ought to be able to look at offshore development, we will do that. Now, certainly there will be NEPA statements and we will not do it if there are certain areas where we won't do it. But, you know, does Governor Romney really represent the interests of his citizens and think that it's a good thing to do? Yes, we will. So. And I think there will be more opportunities. ANWR, yes, I see, if you've ever been there, there's no reason why, following what we hope will be, and I will give credit to this administration, I think they have worked well with Shell and looking at what can be done in the Bering and the Chukchi Seas and imposing incredible layers of protection, which is going to work, I think, hopefully, if the ice isn't too thick this summer. Actually enable some exploratory wells to be drilled there. We are improving that it can be done safely, can be done responsibly. On the basis of that model, there's no reason why we can't do more to take advantage of what's in the Arctic, because that may be the great next frontier. And believe me, whether or not we do it, if you think the Soviets and others are not going to move ahead and do that, the Russians aren't, they will. So we need to be in that mix, and I think the governor would take a look at all of that.
Lots of leases have been issued. Many are not being used. 75% of 75% of the Gulf is open for leasing. Arctic, yes, big opportunities in the Arctic, but ANWR, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, no. I think that's just a pretty much a line in the sand for this administration, as I understand it. So I think the administration is saying we're open for business when it comes to oil. Leases are, large numbers of leases are being issued, and as we say, we're at record highs in terms of oil production, but there are certain, you've got to do it in the right way, and there are certain areas, ANWR in particular, where we're not going to be drilling.
Let me ask a follow-up question, then Linda, you can respond to all of that if you'd like. The follow-up question is, again, picks up on something you said in your opening remarks about eliminating tax breaks for oil and gas companies. Can you be more specific? Which ones in the second Obama term, if the world goes right, go away specifically?
For example, there are a variety of tax breaks and tangible drilling costs, for example. There's a set of these, three or four or five of them, that the oil industry has long enjoyed. That when you run the numbers are on the order of $4 or $5 billion a year. And the feeling is, you know, given the profits of the industry, given the needs of other energy sectors that have not benefited from that kind of government support, that it's time to move those over. It would be small dollars when it comes to the oil industry, given, you know, the $1 trillion profits that I talked about a few minutes ago.
Yes, I think this is a perfect example of sort of a technology specific fix, as opposed to looking at something on a broader basis. The governor is on record, in support of broader tax reform, lowering the rate, fewer sort of deductions or preferences for anybody with a lower rate, so that it's less complicated. It's interesting. The production tax credit over 5 years costs about $5 billion, I think. So when you start saying, well, we're not going to do this, and the truth is, many of these oil tax benefits phase out for the majors. They're largely designed to support the independents and the smaller companies. the companies who, for example, pioneered the hydraulic fracturing techniques that we're now using to produce oil and gas in the country. So if you say, well, we're not going to do that anymore, you know, is that really the right thing to do as part of a broader full, let's take a, you know, a comprehensive look at tax reform. Let's do it the right way. Let's not pick and choose based on who we think are good guys or bad guys or needs it and doesn't need it, because we don't know enough in Washington to do that.
Let me be clear. The phase out would be with regard to the big five, not the smaller guys. I understand the proposal, number one. Number two, with regard to broader tax reform, I think there's clear interest in the administration when we get to broader tax reform about ways that one can be doing other things with the tax code to spur clean energy development. So for example, one thing that's being looked at is the fact that oil and gas pipelines have long been able to use master limited partnerships as an investment tool. That's not been open to other kinds of development, for example, renewable energy projects or real estate investment trusts. I'm in no way saying that the administration is planning to promote this. It is being looked at by the administration, and those would be interesting areas as part of broader tax reform.